Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
So last week, I was super thankful. We had Pastor Josh Combs come and fill in, and he preached his message on Samson, and specifically kind of the downfall of Samson, right? We knew that Samson had, if you've been with us the last couple weeks, we knew that Samson had been called by God or had laid out for his life a calling from God to separate or start this separation between the Israelites, God's people, and the Philistines, the people who had enslaved, captured the Israelites. And Samson, throughout his life, he was a Nazarite, and so he had very specific responsibilities as a Nazarite for his vow that he had to God. And throughout his life, he did some incredible things, some of the most powerful and just incredible feats of strength in all of Scripture were performed by Samson. But he also had some of the lowest lows, some of the greatest falls into temptation and the erosion of his character time and time again. And we're still in this series where we're looking at this idea of the success and failures of Samson and how God used him in spite of these things, and how even though there are serious consequences for sin, it cannot stop God from accomplishing his purposes. Now, last week you may think that, oh, that's where the story ends, right? Samson, he did all these great things, but he also had all these struggles. He goes and he gives in to this woman, Delilah, who was manipulating him and using him to find his secret so that the Philistines could come and capture him. And eventually he gives in. His head is shaved. His power is gone. And he has his eyes plucked out and is made a slave to the Philistines. And you may think, okay, well, that's where the story ends. We know what happened to Samson. But there's actually more to this story. And so this week, we're going to wrap up this series taking a look at how Samson's story truly ends and what that means for us today. So let's pray before we dive into God's word, if you bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ways that it teaches us, it guides us, it informs us, it calls us, it challenges us. Lord, it encourages us. And it grows us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to, as we read your word, believe, we would understand, and we would be transformed. Lord, that we would walk away from your word this evening, people who have been transformed, grown, shaped by your word. Lord, in your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Judges chapter 16. We were in the beginning of Judges chapter 16 last week. We're coming to the end of Judges chapter 16. And so like I said, kind of a fill-in for the story, that Samson, he had his eyes plucked out. His hair had been shaved, right? That's how his Nazarite vow was broken. He was powerless. He was enslaved. He was blind. And he was completely under the control of the Philistines. And so he is this prisoner, and as he's a prisoner, he was brought to this house where it says over 3,000 Philistines had gathered. And they were gathered there to sacrifice and to worship their god, a god by the name of Dagon. And while they were there, they were worshiping Dagon and rejoicing this false god. And they were talking about Samson as a testament to why their false god was greater than God Almighty. They were saying, hey, Samson was given over to us. This man who had killed thousands of us, who is this mighty warrior of Israel, he was given into our hands by our god Dagon. And so what they did was they brought Samson to parade him around this place of worship and sacrifice where thousands of Philistines had gathered. And they were using him to mock and to jeer at God. He was their source of entertainment. So they brought him there to entertain them, right? And really, we know that that entertainment was simply just mockery because there wasn't really much that Samson could do. He was blind. He was powerless. He was chained up. He had been beaten. And so they brought him to the center of the house. He asked one of the servants there to bring him to he asked this young man to lead him to the pillars of the house. And that's where we see that this happens. Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 27, it says this. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof, there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. So like I said, There was a bunch of people here, 3,000 people just on the roof. Verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars of the house, he grabbed the two pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. So here, there is this crazy moment at the end of Samson's life. There are these multiple thousands who have gathered to mock, to jeer, to make fun of not only Samson, but God Almighty. And Samson, at his lowest moment, eyes plucked out, having to be led around by a Philistine, a slave used for entertainment, bald, he cries out to the Lord and asks God to empower him one final time. And God hears him. And God does what Samson asks. And Samson, in the moment of his death, does exactly what the purpose of the Lord destined him for. What God called him to, the purpose that God laid out for his life, which was to drive a wedge, to start this separation between God's people and these evil Philistines, happen in that moment. Even at his lowest, Samson was not too far gone to call out to God. When you look at the story of Samson, it's hard to not feel like he kind of deserved what happened to him. Constantly, he spat in the face of his purpose. Constantly, he didn't care about his vow. Constantly, he said, look at me, I'm the guy. He was this arrogant, prideful man who had no consideration for what God had done in his life and called him to do in his life and the purpose that he laid out. Samson wanted what Samson wanted, and what everyone else wanted didn't matter because Samson was going to do it. And he disregarded God. And he sinned and he led other people into sin and he constantly caved. And there's this moment, right, where all the realities, the earthly consequences for his sins caught up with him. He was undeserving. bought exactly what he bought with his life. What happened to him is exactly what he deserved. It finally caught up with him. And though Samson deserved what he had, he cried out to the Lord and asked for redemption. And what does God do? Does God turn a blind ear or a deaf ear? He turn a blind eye? Does he say, you know what? I've given you enough chances. No. God responds, even though Samson didn't deserve it. God redeemed this man in his final moments. God redeemed him and used him for the purpose which he was called. And that's the reality of what he does in our lives. Many of us have had to deal with the earthly consequences of our sin. May not look like our eyes getting plucked out and our head being shaved, but it may sometimes look like something on our criminal record. Maybe a multitude of things. Maybe sometimes it leads to a breathalyzer in our car. Maybe it leads us to lost friendships, lost family members. Maybe it leads us to some physical scars. We live with the consequences that we have pursued. But the ultimate consequence for our sin is death. We fear physical death, but the real thing we should fear is not physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God eternally. In eternity in hell. Absence from the goodness of God. All things that are good come from God. And so hell, being completely absent from God, is anything but good. And so when we choose to live without God, when we choose to live our own ways, when we pursue us and our ways and the things we want and the things that we deem as right and our own selfishness and arrogance, just like Samson, what we earn is an eternity in hell, separate from God. Why? Because that's what we pursued. But God, in the same way he loved Samson, loves us. And though we pursued our own ways, though we deserve an eternity in hell, because we're sinful, because that's what we've pursued with our lives, God loved us enough to send us his son, Jesus Christ. Christ came and he did not sin. He did not pursue sin, evil, things apart from God. Why? Because he was God. He is God. And he lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he paid our penalty. He died. He was mocked. And where Samson deserved to be mocked, where Samson deserved the things he got, Christ on the cross did not. Because he was sinless. But he bore that for you and for me. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, conquering that which we deserved. And because God loves us, and because God is merciful, and he desires our redemption, he offers us his way as salvation. We want to pursue our own ways, but the reality is the only way to salvation is through Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead. Some of you in this room may feel a lot like Samson. Didn't this guy get enough chances? Maybe you in this room are feeling like, man, I feel like I've squandered every chance that I have. Why is this chance any different? Because this is true salvation. Because instead of your way, your manipulation, your control, salvation through Christ Jesus is pursuit of his ways, is giving control to him, is having him be Lord of your life instead of you be Lord of your life. And that provides redemption. In this moment, Samson wasn't arrogant. Samson knew it wasn't his strength. In all the other ways, he treated it like it was his strength. But in this moment, the reason why God provides this redemption is because he cries out and he says, God, I need you. I don't need my old strength. I don't need my old self. I don't need the ways that I do things or had done things or have done things in the past. God, I need your strength. And God redeemed him. He said, strengthen me. And God redeemed him. Some of you in this room need to be strengthened. We all really need to be strengthened, but some of you, particularly as you walk through this season of your life, desperately need to be strengthened. But the way that you want to be strengthened is you want the old ways you did things. The ways that you schemed and had got out of the consequences. You want the old ways. You want the youthful self to return. You want the old things that distracted or things that you got away with. You want to be strengthened to do things on your own control. But what Samson asked for is not for his own strength. He asked to be strengthened by the Lord. You need to be strengthened by the Lord. Why? For his ways, not your own. That's the redemption of God. That's what God calls us to. And so those that God redeems, he also uses according to his own will. And so in this moment, we see that a broken, battered, blind Samson is used for the purpose of God. Think about how crazy that is. Imagine you're at some hedonistic party from your old life, and the blind, crippled guy gets to the center of the room and tears the whole house down. That's crazy. That's insanity. Why? Why is that insanity? Because it's a miracle of God through a broken man. That's what Samson was. He was a broken man. He had no hope. He was broken, but God still uses broken people. This probably didn't look the way that Samson pictured things through his life. When he knew, hey, my purpose, when his parents told him, hey, your purpose is to drive a wedge between us and the Philistines, to redeem us, to bring us separation, to bring us out of this captivity, he probably envisioned himself conquering gloriously. But here he is, broken, blind, battered, but he's used to accomplish the work of the Lord nonetheless. You maybe feel like some days, okay, I believe that Christ has saved me. I believe that the power of God is mighty enough to save me, but I don't know about this whole being used by God thing. That's going to take a miracle that I don't know that God has in his bag of tricks. Sometimes it can feel like that. How could God use me? I'm such a mess. I have so much going wrong in my life. Or I've had so much go wrong in my life. Or I'm dealing with so much. How could God use me? I'm going to tell you of a story of a guy named Ringo. Ringo lived in Detroit his whole life. And Ringo, for a big portion of his life, he was... His main goal in life was to smuggle drugs and to sell drugs. That's all he did, everything that he did. And he was really good at it. But there was one day that Ringo was trying to hop a train, that when he jumped onto that train, he didn't get quite the handle that he thought he would. And as he fell, the train ran him over. And immediately it severed one of his arms, the entirety of one of his legs, and half of the other leg. And when Ringo was in the hospital, someone shared Christ with him. He came to know the Lord. And there's a lot of things about Ringo's life that were incredible. But the reality is, God used Ringo. Ringo was living with the scars, the earthly consequences of his sinful life. He lived with them every day. They were plain for everyone to see, but God still used Ringo. God used Ringo in the life of a punk teenager named Justin. Because when Justin had heard the stories of the gospel and heard the truth of God's word, it never really clicked for a young Justin. Until Ringo. I remember sitting in an old Baptist missionary building upstairs. Ringo shared his story. And he said, "The consequences for my sin on earth may look very different from the consequences of your sin. But the reality of sin is just the same. It's death." And God used Ringo in my life to help me understand the gospel in a new way. Ringo is one of the main reasons that I'm a believer. I grew up being told the gospel, but until he shared his story and his perspective on why I desperately needed God, why humanity desperately needed God, it didn't click for me. It hadn't clicked until that moment. God used a man that was broken from his sin to accomplish God's work in my life specifically. The life of Samson and of Ringo remind me in several ways of what Paul has to say about his own life. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 15, verse 6. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 through 16. Here, Paul is writing to Timothy, a man that he is training up in the faith to be a leader in the church. And Paul is helping him to understand the reality by which he has been trained for in the church. Now, Paul, we know, was a murderer. He went and he had Christians killed. We know that he was a staunch hater of Christ. But in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 through 16, he talks about, even though the realities of himself being this sinner and having to bear the weight and the guilt of that, here's what he has to say. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 through 16 says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Paul looks and he says, "I am a broken man. I am a sinner deserving of hell, and I carry the realities of that. But yet, Christ came and died for me so that he might display these things at work in my life. As you wrestle with the realities of your sin, as you wrestle with maybe the consequences that you live with daily because of your sin, do not think that Christ cannot redeem you and that Christ cannot use you. He has used worse people. He has saved us. He is a greater savior than you are a sinner. He's used people time and time again through their scars, through the weight, through their guilt, through their sin. He has used them because he is God Almighty and his purposes will be accomplished. And so I would encourage you on those days where you feel discouraged, or maybe in this time where you feel like God couldn't use me, or God can't use me, or God won't use me, to highlight this passage in 1 Timothy 1 where Christ, or where Paul testifies about Christ in his life. He says, I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Whatever you carry, whatever weakness that you struggle with, use it as a testimony to the Lord's salvation. Use it as a testimony to maybe the realities of sin and the redemption and work of Christ. I love that Paul here in 1 Timothy says that this is trustworthy and deserving of acceptance. On those days when you're feeling exceptionally discouraged, on those days where maybe the consequences are bearing down and it's hard to see the light at the tunnel, this is a trustworthy saying. Accept it, rely on it. God can use you. He will use you if you look to him for redemption. In the same way Samson did. In the same way so many others have before. And so tonight, my encouragement to you would be to respond. To literally turn to him. To ask him for his strength, for his salvation, through whatever it is that you're walking through. There'll be table leaders down front. They would love to pray with you. They would love to encourage you. They would love to go with you before the Lord and ask him for that strength in your life, to ask him for that salvation, to ask him to use you, to help you ask the Lord to be used by him. To help you ask for the Lord for redemption in your life. And so I encourage you, come down and pray. Here's the deal. That takes courage. Our flesh wants to tell us, oh no, we don't need to pray right now. We don't need to respond right now. We'll respond later. I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is nudging on your heart, to have the courage to respond, to come down and to pray. During this next song, if you feel the need to pray, maybe it's in your own seat, maybe it's out in the lobby with someone, I'd encourage you, stop and pray. But maybe the Lord has already redeemed you and he's using you in a mighty way despite your faults and flaws. I'd encourage you in this next song to worship him. In light of that truth in your life, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your redemption. Lord, we thank you that you love us and you provide for us salvation. Lord, and that as you save us, that you use us, Lord. That you don't just leave us broken and battered to be discarded, but instead you use us and you grow us and you shape us and you use us in your world for your plans. Lord, I pray that tonight you'd encourage each and every person in this room. Lord, to some you would encourage them to salvation, to start their relationship with you. Lord, there is salvation through no other name but Christ Jesus. There is redemption in no other way aside from Christ Jesus, Lord. That you alone provide salvation. Lord, for others, I pray that you would encourage them and remind them that they can be used by you. Regardless of what they feel their limits are, what they feel their scars keep them from, Lord, that you have used many for far more than they believed capable. Lord, with others, I pray that you would encourage them to respond tonight, to ask you for strength, to turn to your strength, to turn to your call. Lord, I thank you for people like Paul. Lord, people like Ringo. People who you have used in the lives of so many in this room to call us to salvation. Lord, I pray that you would use us in those same ways. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We turn to you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.